3, 2, 1. Hey everybody, welcome to the 3, 2, something like that, Angry Nerds Podcast.
Curtis, I'm going to throw you out of a window.
And
as you open up every podcast like that.
My power level is over 9,000.
Ah!
I said I was going to do that. I did.
Yep. I knew that was coming. I did see that coming.
I do want to talk about Dragon Ball Z League. Because I did watch the new movie.
Dragon Ball Z Resurrection F.
I know. I didn't put this in the notes, but I want to talk about it, even if it's like super casual. And you've started watching Dragon Ball.
Yes, I did. Well, because I watched Dragon Ball Z as a kid, right? And okay. I was like, this is pretty cool. But I was never like a super fan. I was like, this is pretty cool. I played a few of the video games. I was like, I like it. But I didn't really keep up with it afterwards. And then I also, like, I knew that there was a show before that, but I had never seen it and never bothered to go look at it. And then I heard all about the new movie, right, and about how it was apparently really cool. And I was like, you know, I never got back into Dragon Ball, but I was like, whatever, man. So I'm going to start watching the whole thing from the beginning just because I've got nothing better to do, I guess.
I think that's like what we all are like. It's like, I have nothing better to do. I'm just going to replay all the Metal Gear Solid games.
Yeah, right? Like, every once in a while, like, you just go back to a series and you're like, let's just go through the whole thing because why not? Like, everyone does it at some point. So I'm like, you know what? Whatever, man. I'll just do that.
And speaking of just doing that, I don't know, that was a terrible segue. I apologize for that.
Segue suck.
Call in T. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. I'm pretty sure I spelt it wrong, but I don't care. I cannot be caring enough to correct it. He directed Safety Not Guaranteed and Jurassic World, and he's now confirmed to direct Star Wars Episode 9.
Although you wrote it as Star Wars Episode 11 in the notes because you have no idea how Roman numerals work, but...
Yeah.
Whatever, man.
Well, whatever. Maybe he is going to direct Episode 11 as well.
Like, he actually does one day, and Curtis is like, vindicated!
Breaking news on the Three Angry Nerds podcast.
Yeah, he skips Episode 10, somebody else does that, but then he comes back for Episode
11. He'll alternate with Rian Johnson. So Ryan will do 10, and then he'll do 11.
Yeah.
There you go. I mean, he was rumored a while back.
Was.
But honestly, I don't get it. I don't get why these Star Wars people keep hiring creative talent and, you know, actors and actresses that I hate. Like, what's up with that, Disney? Come on.
Maybe they just don't care what you think, Curtis.
That's probably it.
Curtis is just like, shit.
They probably just don't care here. No, because they have that chick who I can't remember her name because I hate her so much. They have her in Rogue One, and then they have the guy that directed Jurassic World. So, I mean, what's next? You're going to have Mark Webb direct the movie? You're going to have...
Mark Webb confirmed for Episode 10.
Oh, shit. I was going to say, are they going to have Josh Trank direct the film? I'm like, oh, yeah, right. He was going to.
Oh, wait. No, he already got fired. Apparently, yeah. that's their threshold.
By the way, I'm eating terrible food. My woman's out.
What kind
of like, I had some leftover pulled pork, so I cooked that, and I cooked some rice, and I just mixed it all up. I mean, it's food.
Like, no, I'll just throw this shit onto this shit. You know what? It's edible.
You know what? That's pretty much, like, it. Because, my significant other is around. You know, I'm always
your wife.
I always like to say significant.
Not just significant other. Or she's your spouse.
Yeah, spouse.
Spouse is a word. That's a word.
Whenever she's around, I'll make like really good food. I'll make like food that will blow her fucking mind. And then when she goes out, I'm like, the expectations are low. I can do whatever I want. And I just make
she's not looking.
Shittiest food. Yeah. Yeah. And then she's like, so what'd you have for dinner? Did you make cannelloni or something like that? I'm like, no. I just put some pulled pork and some rice, and that was edible. Anyways, that's food talk on the Three Angry Nerds podcast.
Hey, man, I'm okay with that. I mean, yeah.
I think we might have scared off Nathaniel. We had him on last week. I think we might have scared him.
Well, that's his problem, not mine.
Yeah, I don't care.
We're just going to do our thing.
We just do our thing. And then Hamid's going to email us because he hates us doing our thing.
Yes, that's the sort of an interesting thing. Just a sort of like a preview. We did get another email from Hamid this week, obviously, and we already read it. And let's just say you guys are going to love it.
Well, sometimes I like to keep them a secret, and sometimes I like to share them with Carlos and whoever else before the podcast. And this one was so good I had to share.
Ooh. Yeah. So when we get to that, it's going to be good times all around.
I think so. So Rogue One, we got our first still from the movie. It's basically
like... Yeah,
it was
a past photo that had all these people in it. They're all like, sup, we're in a Star Wars movie.
Mm-hmm. Some people, too, were making connections. Like, apparently one of the actors in it looks like one of an X-Wing or one of the X-Wing pilots from Episode 4. Someone's making that connection. They also added a bunch of new people, too.
Yeah, like people that hadn't even been confirmed yet. They're just like, oh, they're all in this movie, too.
All like, these people weren't even rumored. Like,
yeah, not even rumored.
Like,
Mads is in this movie.
Yeah, Mads Mikkelsen, Hannibal, and the guy from Casino Royale. Alan Tudyk, who's from Firefly, and Forrest Whitaker. I mean, those are three really good actors. And
they're like, hey, what's going on? We're in a Star Wars movie now.
Yeah. And some people are like, oh, I wonder who Mads is playing. And I'm like, I can guarantee you with 100% certainty, he's playing a bad guy.
I know, you didn't see him in that photo, right? So you're just like, oh, yeah, he's going to be a bad guy.
Well, that's the thing, right? Because in this movie, you know, there's got to be a bad guy of some sort, right? You know, antagonist.
Yeah, they're going to have, like, some, like, previously unmentioned, like, Imperial officer who's going to be, like, running the facility or whatever that they steal the Death Star plans from, and that's going to be the bad guy.
Yeah.
Right? And that's
probably... Too. He looks like evil guy. I mean...
He does... He obviously gets typecast as villains a lot, but it's also... He's really good at it, so... I mean... I don't know.
I'm down.
And I mean, if he signed on, obviously he wants to do it, right? Like, it's not like someone's forcing him to fucking sign on for the movie.
There's a guy, and I was at the grocery store the other day, and his girlfriend's asking him, do you want this ice cream? And he said... I'm down like Down syndrome. I'm like,
wow.
What? But this week, it's been stuck in my head. And every now and then I catch myself thinking, that's down like Down syndrome. Or I'm down like Down syndrome.
That doesn't even make any sense, but
no.
Okay.
But it's just, it's catchy. It's stupid, but it's catchy. Finn, John Boyega's character, is confirmed to be a Jedi. He was in a poster. He had a lightsaber.
Yes, he had a lightsaber. Although, I thought this was just sort of like, I don't know, common sense, but...
We kind of figured, right? But, yeah. Our poster was really good, too, by the way.
Yeah, I really liked the poster. I didn't know what the fuck everyone... Like, there was a bunch of people that were like, the poster sucks. And I'm like, you guys don't know your artwork, but whatever. Like, that was fucking Drew Struzan. Like, he's drawn, like, all those epic Star Wars posters all over the years. I'm like, what the fuck is your problem? You're like, no, the poster sucks. And I'm like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. It's either the poster sucks or you suck.
Yeah.
I'd say it's probably that you suck.
Like, the only thing that I was even sort of a little bit off about was, like, I guess the pant positioning of Han Solo was a little bit weird. But I'm like, that doesn't mean that wasn't drawn well. Like, what is your problem?
Yeah. It's always kind of interesting with those kind of posters too, right? Because some people are going to read into them in way too much detail than it probably is.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to be like, oh my god, they gave away the entire plot. I'm like, no, they just put a bunch of characters on there.
Yeah. Like, Finn being a Jedi, that you can logically say is a confirmation. But everything else, like...
Yeah, and it's not like when they were putting it together that they're like, oh my gosh, we just gave away the big twist. Although I guess we can't really say that because that happened with Terminator Genesis, so I guess we can't say that.
Oh, Terminator Genesis. But Terminator Salvation. They spoiled that shit in the trailers, so...
Yeah, exactly. So maybe... Yeah, but what I was saying is that, like, if they're going to put it on... Unless you're the Terminator franchise, if it's being put on the poster, then you can sort of generally assume that it's, like, okay, that one's going to be obvious.
Yeah. So it was kind of funny, too. Because they said, oh, we're not showing anything from Star Wars Episode 7. But they showed a lot of stuff in general, so it was kind of, just kind of funny.
Yeah. Just sort of, like, again, like, Star Wars stuff. And another thing that was a little bit weird, though, was that... Okay, like, you know, like, how obviously Star Wars Rogue One is not an episode, right? It's, like, the first of their spin-off movies, and they were sort of like, oh, these are... They started calling them the anthology movies, and I thought that was a stupid name. But then now they sort of have confirmed that they sort of dropped the anthology title, but now they refer to the movie as Rogue One, like, a Star Wars story, and it sounded, like, very, like, storybook, like, kiddie time, and I'm like, why not just call it Star Wars Rogue One? Why is that so hard?
Yeah.
Like, somebody was trying to talk to me about it on CBM, being like, oh, they have to change it on a marketing level because, I mean, it's, they don't want people to get confused with the episodes. And I'm like, does it say episode in the name of Star Wars Rogue One? No, it doesn't. Like, everybody knows that The Force Awakens is Episode 7, right? Like, Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens, and Star Wars Rogue One are not the same thing. Like, calm your tits.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I don't know why. I have a feeling that by the time the movie actually comes out, people will just be saying Star Wars Rogue One anyway, so...
Yeah.
Like, we get that it's not an episode. It can be a Star Wars movie without being an episode. It's okay. It's okay.
It's just a Star Wars movie, guys. Calm your tits.
Alright, as long as you don't make, like, too many of them, I'm sure it'll be fine.
As long as one of them isn't, like, 6-year-old Han Solo...
Exactly, like 6-year-old Han Solo. It's like Admiral Akbar's summer vacation, you know? It's like, what did IG-88 do that one time at band camp? Like, okay, like, there comes a breaking point.
Oh, Admiral Akbar. Bringing that guy back to the podcast. Yeah.
It's a trap.
Damn it. Should have had that lined up. So, there's also some Marvel stuff, too. Because...
There's always Marvel stuff.
Yeah.
Oh. What?
Right. Brought it up.
Special you can't occasion. Keep it.
Come on, Admiral Akbar. Do your thing. Okay, never mind. Disappointing me, you fish man. Jeez. All right. There was some Marvel stuff at D23. Wasn't a lot, but still pretty cool. There was some footage from Civil War that was shown.
But it hasn't leaked yet.
No. Apparently there was some, like, supposed leaked footage, but...
Yeah, but that was like, it was like 2 seconds of Crossbones. I saw that. I'm like, that could have easily been faked. Like, nobody knows.
Yeah, I think that was kind of debunked as being not real. But who knows? Yeah, apparently the footage was really good. Showed
we did get a lot of very detailed descriptions of the footage, which was nice. So I mean, like, we didn't actually get to see it, obviously, but we generally know what was in it.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that I heard sounds cool. It's just that there was a couple bits of dialogue that I thought sounded really lame.
Yeah.
The one line from Tony Stark, who's like, sometimes I just want to punch you in your perfect teeth, and apparently says that to Cap, and I was like, really? That's his super hardcore, like, diss from Tony Stark? Like, you can't come up with anything better than that? I'm like, come on, man.
And who knows, too? It might be paraphrasing or whatever, right?
Yeah, it also might be completely paraphrased, and it might make sense in the context of the movie. Like, that's the problem with, like, certain bits in trailers and clips. Like, I always thought it was funny that, like, a lot of movies get clips released ahead of time, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes you watch the clip and you're like, that clip is stupid. But then in the movie, it's usually re-edited, and it makes a lot more sense in when you watch it in the context of the full film, right? So, like, you gotta sort of keep that in mind. But overall, everything I heard about the Civil War footage seemed pretty cool. Like, the whole, like, detailing with the fight between Crossbones and Cap, and about how Crossbones knows that Bucky remembers Cap, stuff like that. I thought that was pretty cool. We got some more... It was sort of already talked about, but it was sort of like confirmed now that Falcon has Red Wing as a drone, and he uses that, and I'm like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, apparently Ant-Man is a big fan of Tony, or not Tony.
Of Steve.
Yeah. Apparently, like, touches Steve's pack or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, like, he totally fanboys out, and I'm like, that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
Sounds very in-character.
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of, like, weird, because I'm like, oh, you would have thought they would have set some of that up in Ant-Man, but, yeah, who knows. Onto the Doctor Strange front. Showed some concept art from that. Apparently, yeah it's, kind of, like, comic accurate, but they're saying, like, the colors are a bit more subdued, a little bit darker. Kind of keeping
with this. Which isn't a big deal. That sort of makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, you look at almost all of the MCU outfits, and that's pretty much a description for any MCU costume.
Yeah, is that, like, they're generally, for the most part, fairly accurate. It's just, like, they make some alterations to the coloring so they're more realistic, and I'm like, that's fine.
Yeah.
Like, at least they have costumes, unlike certain other franchises. Foxman.
Yeah. Or, you know, at least they don't, like, just bastardize it like they do with, like, the Superman costume in Man of Steel.
Old.
Deuce, Man of Steel, deal with it, bro.
Yeah. Old. He's like, Man of Steel, this for this episode. Check.
Yeah. Some users on comicbookmovie.com that listen to this podcast are freaking out right now. They're like, what? Can't make fun of Man of Steel. That movie's perfect.
Are they listening to the podcast live as it records?
Probably.
So I was going to say, unless they're doing that.
Jessica Jones. Apparently some guy on Reddit leaked the episode titles.
Yeah, that was sort of interesting because of the fact that what he did was that, like, he didn't do anything really, but it was sort of, like, interesting how he did it. So on Netflix, like, you can go and find Jessica Jones on Netflix right now, basically just because it's been announced, and you can, like, add it to your list. But it has, like, a URL, right, which is, like, the same, like, every show has its own specific URL. So sort of, like, as an experiment, he changed, like, the last number in the URL to the, it was, like, a 1, he changed it to a 2, and it revealed the first episode title, and then he's like, okay, I'm going to change it to a 3, and it revealed the second episode title. He just kept doing it, and so all 13 episode titles are there. And I checked it on my Netflix. You can do it right now, and it works. You can go see them for yourself. And so, yeah, so we have the episode titles for all of them. There's also, I think, 5 of the episodes also have running times on there, which means that those episodes are done and uploaded.
Yeah.
They're just sort of waiting for you. They're like, we're waiting for you to come view us.
Yeah, and it's kind of cool because a lot of the episode titles seem to, they're really interesting. Kind of like a little more, kind of punk-ish.
Yeah, I got that vibe from them, right? They felt very in character for Jessica,
yeah.
Right? Which I really liked. Like, they come across as things that, like, she would say. You know what I mean? If that makes sense. So I was like,
yeah.
I liked them a lot.
And what's her name, the showrunner? Melissa Rosenberg? Or something like that? Yeah. She seems to really get the character, so.
Yeah.
I was actually,
which,
like,
is always, it's always, obviously, it's always nice when, I mean, the person who's basically in charge, like, proves that they know the character fairly well.
Yeah.
Right, so.
And there was one, it was, like, something about the Power Man, and the...
Jewel and the Power Man, that's the second last episode.
Yeah, so, a lot of people...
Like, I wonder what's gonna be in that episode!
Yeah. No, I'm excited. That show, I think, will probably get a trailer soon. Probably in the next month.
Absolutely, right? Especially if 5 of the episodes are done and they're already on Netflix servers just waiting. I'm thinking that, like, we have to be getting a trailer anytime now, and we need a release date, because, I mean, like, again, 5 of the episodes are finished. So, like, what the hell? And it better be soon. Like, they better not be, like, December 31st. It's still 2015. I'm like, no.
Yeah, I'm guessing October for that, like late October, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see. I'm excited for that one, though, because especially,
absolutely, yeah.
The set photos and all that. Because I'm not a huge Jessica Jones fan in general. I know a lot of people are, but I'm just like, nah. Not my thing, really. But I'm excited. Yeah. All right, let's see what else we got on the docket of news. Back to Civil War. But the reason I didn't put this in with the D23 news is this is more of a rumor than anything. It's coming from L, maybe. But he says that apparently Spider-Man will face off against both Iron Man and Captain America.
He's going to fight them both?
Yeah.
At the same time?
I think differently. Yeah. Different times. But.
So this is sort of like a rumor that Spider-Man's going to have a much larger role in the movie than was originally reported.
And we've been getting so many conflicting reports on that.
Yeah, that's the thing, too, is that so many rumors going back and forth about how much Spider-Man is in this movie. I almost can't help but feel that, like, a lot of the stuff is literally just made up because people just don't know how much Spider-Man is in this movie.
Yeah. Right. What it is people are like, oh, he's in it only for one scene in his bedroom or something like that.
Yeah.
And then other people are like, he has a more meatier role, right? You gotta think, like, it's a 50-50 chance, right? Like, either he's going to have that cameo or he's going to have some substantial role. But I think it's just funny with these rumor people. It's basically like, well, one of us is going to be right and one of us is going to be wrong. So
yeah, like that's what it comes across as, like 50-50, like people just throwing it out there being like, hey.
And that's the thing. At this point, I'm going to tend to believe that he has just a cameo. But hey, you never know. I mean, again, if he does have a meaty role, then El Maibe will have another...
Because one of the things that I was thinking about was the fact that, I mean, like, I have difficulty believing the people who say that he has a meaty role, though, because this is Spider-Man's introduction, and I know that Tom Holland was on set in Germany, but I'm like, you're telling me that Peter is going to be, like, globetrotting in this movie? Like, if this is just the beginning of his superhero career and he's already, like, running around all over the world hanging out with, like, every other superhero, that seems like a bit much, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's just, like, just for me. And it also doesn't... Yeah. It also doesn't mesh with the, It doesn't mesh with the initial report from when Marissa Tomei was added to... as Aunt May. Because there was an initial report that she was also going to be making her first appearance in Civil War, which led a lot of people to believe that she was going to be part of Peter's cameo, and it was just going to be the cameo.
Yeah.
Right? So I don't know. I guess we won't know until we get a trailer, we get more information about the movie, but seems like every other day, somebody new is saying it's either a big role or a cameo role, and it's getting a little bit frustrating.
Yeah. I'd rather they just release a trailer and... Well, actually, I don't think the trailer would clarify that, but...
Well, it could, right? Because, I mean, like, if it shows him in these crazy battles, then it could. Or maybe he won't be in it at all, and then we'll be like, shit. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. You gotta think, though, like, the reason we haven't had a trailer for that yet is mainly because they're waiting for those Spider-Man scenes to be filmed. Either way. Like,
isn't Tom Holland now shooting another movie? Like, I thought I saw a report today that he's actually just arrived on set for a different movie that he's doing. So I'm pretty sure he's done with Civil War. He would have to be.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's probably just a cameo, but you never know.
I still want to see the costume, though.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
I keep posting that, like, every single Civil War thread, I post that meme of, like, Jameson from the 60s TV show being like, Spider-Man, I want more pictures of Spider-Man.
You know, people keep saying, I want to see what the new Spider-Man suit looks like. If those rumors of the, like, toned-down, realistic suit are true, people are going to be so pissed off, you know? So, I don't know. Part of me is like, do you really want those pictures? You probably won't like what you see, but yeah. Let's see what else we got. Let's talk about Thor Ragnarok.
Okay.
Just kidding. There's no Ragnarok news.
That's why I was like, wait, there was Ragnarok news? No, there wasn't. I was like,
the writer, or one of the writers from Thor Ragnarok is now on the He-Man reboot.
Masters of the Universe.
Yeah, so. Is it Masters
of the Universe? By the power of Grayskull!
Yeah. So that's kind of exciting, if you're a huge He-Man fan.
Obvious, right?
To me, that shows that Thor Ragnarok must be doing pretty well if those guys are getting snatched up for other stuff. So, while we don't
Chris
know anything...
Yost was a pretty decent, like, a pretty big writer in terms of, like, he wrote a lot of, like, big cartoon shows, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like, I know that's obviously not the same pedigree as films, but he's also written films, too, right? But I'm saying is that, like, it makes sense that they would want someone who's written a lot of cartoon stuff to, like, come on board for a cartoon adaptation.
Mm-hmm.
He served as a major writer for Earth's Mightiest Heroes and Fantastic Four Greatest Heroes. And he also helped with work on, Wolverine and the X-Men, which is obviously all Marvel stuff. Like, Marvel loves him. Yeah. But I'm like, those were all shows that I really liked, so I don't have a problem with him writing Ragnarok or doing this He-Man thing.
Was he doing Ragnarok? Oh, yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Because I did like Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
So. Yeah, right. He was one of the head writers on Earth's Mightiest Heroes for a while.
Well, I guess I feel a little less terrible about that show dying if he's on to better things.
Yeah. Like, obviously, Marvel hasn't forgotten him. They're like, hey, would you help want to write? Also, a show was a little bit more divisive, but I really liked it. He also was one of the head writers for Iron Man Armored Adventures, if you ever saw that show.
I did not.
I really liked it.
Plus one for Carlos.
Yep.
Hamid's about to get a big hard-on. We're about to talk about DC.
Woo!
Michael Shannon, also known as Zod from Man of Steel, he...
He's playing the Penguin in Batman.
Yeah, apparently. apparently he told the story about being on the set of Batman v Superman. And apparently he was stuck in a porta potty with these green flippers on his hand or something like that.
He said something about, like, he was trying to get into a... through a door, and he had flippers on his hands because of what he's doing in BVS, and he couldn't get through the door. And it was Zack Snyder or someone else was like, "Where's Michael Shannon? We gotta get him in here." And he was just banging on the door with his flippers, being like, "Let me in, or let me out." It might go one or the other, but yeah. So people are being like, "Why flippers?"
Yeah.
So now that's the speculation being like, "Why does he have flippers on his hands?"
Probably so the most logical explanation is that he becomes Doomsday. I mean, that's what most people
are
leaning
towards. Is Doomsday
towards.
A dolphin?
Well, you know. The funny thing is a lot of people have been referencing the Hulk in Avengers, that the person that they had play the Hulk had, like, Hulk hands or whatever, and then they would just CG in later. But he would at least be a reference. So a lot of people are saying, like, oh, they'll probably substitute whatever those are for actual hands or whatever. So
yeah,
it could be a case where
it's like here's this thing that you're gonna wear that we're gonna paint over with CG afterwards.
Yeah, and you have to think if they're doing Doomsday, they're probably doing them CG. The thing is, too, is anything else that it could be doesn't really make sense. Like, some people are like, oh, they're giving him flippers, so. He won't move around in that little body bag he's in, but I'm like, that's dumb. Why would you need that? Like, why can't you just tell the
actor? Just tell him not to move. Yeah. Be like, hey, you're dead, don't move.
Yeah, that seems kind of counterproductive to give him flippers just to not move. you know, like, it just doesn't make sense. But I guess, yeah, that's kind of what I'm getting at is that, yeah, it probably means he's Doomsday, but...
Which is going with a lot of earlier rumors that a lot of people have talked about. I mean, like, pretty much everyone's heard the rumor by now that Lex basically turns Zod's body into Doomsday somehow.
which is okay. completely stupid. But hey.
Yeah, I was like, really? That's okay, fine, whatever. That's what it's sort of like the reaction I got when I heard it. I was like, fine, whatever. Like, I was just sort of like, really? That's whatever, man.
Well, it's funny too, because comic book movie, the user Dev7 made a bet with Nicklander, and at the time, Nicklander was like, that's so stupid, they're not going to do that. That would be, just be the dumbest thing they could ever do. Wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah, and even I'm Nicklander, like, who loves Man of Steel, is like, that's stupid.
And then Dev's like, well, you know what? It's so stupid, they might actually do it. And it sounds like they're actually doing it, so I don't know. We'll obviously see how it's implemented if it is, but just kind of funny.
I mean, like, I'm one of those people that, I mean, like, I'm sort of, I was like, I'm hopeful that BVS can be really good. Like, I'm not saying it is or it isn't going to be. I'm just sort of like, I hope it is. But, like, that in particular is just like, oh my gosh. Like, really?
Yeah. Speaking of things that won't die, the Robin Jason Todd theory.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's my reaction. It's just like, oh my God, I can't believe people will not shut the fuck up about this.
Well, yeah, because that's the thing, right? Because this came out, well, like a month ago, a couple weeks ago, something like that, where someone was basically like, hey, the Robin, I don't know what I'm talking about, apparently. The Joker could be Jason Todd. And some people still believe this after it has been logically pointed out that that makes no sense. Like, you can't have the origin of Harley Quinn be with a Jason Todd Joker. But anyways, some people are still adhering to that theory, and this week it got, you know, kind of pushed a little bit more. People were kind of like, hey,
I can't help but feel that if I was the script writer for this movie and people were posting this, I'd just be like, you freaking guys.
Here's the thing too, right? Like, honestly, like, if it was Marvel and there was a stupid rumor like that, I wouldn't believe it. But the DC Cinematic Universe, like, I have no clue if they would actually do that or not. But part of me is like, they could. Like, I could totally see them doing it. But at the same time,
to be fair... I think that if anyone had come out with a rumor before Iron Man 3 that the Mandarin was going to be a drunk actor, we all would have been like, no.
Well.
To be fair.
We can all blame Shane Black for that, you know. Yeah. But no, like, you know what I mean, though, right? Like, Marvel, at least, we can kind of generally tell something crazy.
Be like, all right.
But that's the thing. Like,
and which was the thing too, is because obviously that ended up being so divisive. I didn't mind that in Iron Man 3. I know that a lot of people really hated it. Although some people have grown to like retroactively be like, it wasn't that bad.
I think people have calmed down. It's like one of those things where it was like mob, lynch mob mentality, right? You know, one person complains about it and then people just think it's cool to bash on it, and then eventually you're just like, oh.
I think that was the thing too, is that like so many people were like, oh my God, you can't do that to Iron Man's archenemy or whatever. And it was sort of like, or like they're like, oh my God, they're going to do this to other villains. And I was sort of like, when you really think about it, I think that the Mandarin is like the only villain that you could have done that to, right? Because whether or not you like the Mandarin, although it was sort of funny because I never heard anyone really talk about the Mandarin before that movie was even like on its way. Or like when you talk about like big Marvel villains, like nobody really talked about the Mandarin. Right, like, I know everyone knows, well, not everyone knows, but like basically Marvel will know that the Mandarin was Iron Man's archenemy. But when you really think about it, like, come on, even if you like the Mandarin, you know that he was nowhere near as iconic as like the other big archenemies like Magneto, Doctor Doom, Red Skull, Ultron, Kang. Like, they're just, he's just not the same, right? And he's also like a very problematic character, like just on a basic level. So I think he's sort of like the one archenemy that you sort of could do in that weird tongue-in-cheek way. And I think that's why Shane Black was like, hey, you want to, can I do this? And Kevin Feige was like, you know what? Yeah. But if like someone came up to him and be like, I want to do this with Red Skull, Kevin Feige would have been like, oh, no.
Yeah. Well, I think part of it too is that people are obviously thinking, oh, you know, we're not getting comic accurate Mandarin. But again, you look at the Mandarin from the comics, and for a long time he was basically a racist caricature, right? You know, and
yeah,
obviously,
exactly, you know, right? Like, he, that's just what he was.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, back in the day, that was probably a little more acceptable, but you can't do that now, especially considering that the Chinese government pours billions into our.
I mean, I wouldn't have had a problem if they're like, let's reinvent Mandarin. You know what I mean? But, like, still make him sort of, like, a legitimate, like, threat, right? Like, it's how it seemed to be in the trailers. And I think that was another point, too, is that a lot of people are like, look, they reinvented Mandarin and made him, I guess, more acceptable for today. Although that's more just because now, like, what is it, like, Middle Eastern terrorists are now the acceptable targets, right? And I wouldn't have really had a problem if they had kept it that way, but I didn't have a problem with the way they did it either, so I don't know.
My main problem with the whole Mandarin thing is they said, oh, the real Mandarin's out there, and they haven't addressed that yet.
Yeah, that's the thing I'm sort of interested in, being like, okay, if the real Mandarin's out there, like, you have to sort of bring that back, or just don't mention it in the first place.
Yeah.
Right? And they sort of fanned that a little bit because of the fact that there was the guy in Ant-Man that had the Ten Rings tattoo. Right, yeah. As one of the people that was trying to buy the Yellow Jacket outfit, so I was sort of thinking to myself, I'm like, okay, so when is this coming into play? Like, hello.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing, right? Because, like, I honestly don't mind the whole, you know, drunk actor thing, but they kind of made that to be like a red herring, and that they were gonna ultimately deliver on who the real Mandarin is, and we haven't had that yet. So I'm just kind of like, we can't just backtrack, because I mean, that's kind of what it is, let's be honest, right? Like, they probably were just, you know, do that as the Mandarin thing, but now they're trying to backtrack and make it, you know, one step in a larger thing, right? But you kind of have to tell us what the other next step is. Anyways,
yeah, be like, all right, where is he? Like, what's he gonna do? Like, I can't think of like a Phase 3 movie that he would just like appear in. He's all like, hey, I've been waiting this entire time, and now is my chance to attack. Like,
I could see them repurposing him as like, you know, higher upper management, I just say that was so funny, but he's like an upper member of Hydra. I could see them doing that too.
Yeah, like maybe Ten Rings and Hydra just decide to hang out. They're like, you know what, let's just be friends.
Yeah.
One of the things that I was sort of thinking about though too is that you remember we got that rumor a while back that, what is it, was going to be Magus was going to be basically the villain of Infinity War Part 1.
Yeah.
Right? Well, obviously, that's still just sort of like rumor, but what I was sort of thinking about was the fact that, I mean, Infinity War is cut into two movies, but we also have, Black Panther and Ms. Marvel between Infinity War Part 1 and Part 2, right? So I was sort of thinking to myself, I'm like, what? I thought
Black Panther was before.
Black Panther used to be before, but because of the Spider-Man pushback, now Black Panther's after Infinity War Part 1. But what I was going to say was that because of the fact that we have the first Infinity War and then two more sort of like, I guess, whether it's not, it's an origin story, but sort of like first movie in a franchise, right? And then you have the second one. I can't help but feel that the first Infinity War isn't actually going to go into space, and that they only really all go into space together in the second one, so that maybe the first Infinity War is going to have something of an Earthbound villain who's later revealed to be, like, working for Thanos. And I'm like, they could have a wide variety of guys that they could choose for that. Like, I mean, they could do a whole thing, like, maybe the Mandarin's rings have something to do with the Infinity Gems or some shit. Yeah. I'm like, that could be an option.
I think they're going to do the Infinity Gauntlet in Part 1 and then do the follow-up storyline, the Infinity War, in Part 2. But
one or the other. But I'm just saying is that because of the fact that there's those, like, origin stories in between, I can't help but feel that, again, like, they're not all going to go into space until the second one. Because they're not, like, you can't leave those guys behind.
They can't. They've said, too, that they're not doing origin stories, too, right? So they've kind of said that origin stories are sort of not their thing anymore. So the thing is, too, is they could do it where, you know, Black Panther and Ms. Marvel, or Captain Marvel, are basically, like, informally, you know, parts 1.5 or something like that, or whatever, of Infinity War 2, right? Where,
I guess,
kind of like the comics, you know, comics will obviously have the mainline story, and then they have add-ons or whatever else, which I hate that in comics, so I'm kind of like, they start doing that in the movies, at least in a more aggressive sense. I'm kind of like, I don't know how it
feels. I guess we can't really know until we get closer. This was just sort of me just sort of like thinking about it and being like, I wonder how they're going to do this.
Well, I'm definitely interested because I think Marvel, with Infinity War, and well, a lot of the subsequent movies following up to it, they're going to have to really redefine themselves more than what they've done before. So I'm thinking, you know, I think that the MCU is in for some changes, at least format-wise, in terms of, like, how those movies mesh together and how they work with each other. Mm-hmm. And I think it's interesting because I'm kind of, I want to see how they do it, obviously, but I don't think how the MCU movies interact with each other are going to be how they always interact with each other. They're going to be changing that kind of format, but we'll see.
Yeah, because the Avengers sort of can't be, like, the main focal point forever, right? Like,
yeah,
I'm thinking they're going to be bringing in more franchises that don't have anything to do with the Avengers, right? Like, we already sort of have that with Guardians, and I'm thinking we're going to see more of those sort of, like, other series that are in the MCU, but, like, they don't really have anything to do with Avengers.
Well, part right? of it, too, is sort of just know, a lot of the, solo movies now are starting to be more team-up films anyways, right? I mean,
yeah.
Guardians was probably the first real inclination of that. As you know, I guess Captain America, Winter Soldier, where the focus wasn't just on that one hero, but they kind of introduced the side heroes, right? Like, Winter Soldier had Falcon and Black Widow in it, and obviously Guardians is a whole team of people, and yeah, like, part of me wonders, like, in Black Panther, like, are they going to throw in Captain America into that movie? Are they going to throw in the Wasp into Captain Marvel or something? Like, I'm kind of interested how they do it, because I
yeah.
think they'll probably start doing that too, right? But it's an interesting time to be a Marvel fan. And Hamid right now is probably shitting bricks because we were talking about DC and then we just went on
the... Oh, yeah, exactly. We were talking Marvel. About DC and then suddenly we just went completely, like, off track for, like, 10 minutes just talking about random Marvel shit. Yeah, and he's like, God damn it, like, guys, focus. And I'm like, you focus on ripping DC. Your bong, man.
Stop ripping into bongs, man. You gotta stop doing that. Yvonne Craig. I misspelled her last name, but it's Yvonne Craig, I'm pretty sure. Who played Batgirl in the Adam West Batman TV series. She passed away this week, so.
Oh.
Condolences. Although I...
78 when she died, just so you guys know.
It is kind of funny, though, because, like, a lot of people are posting, like, oh, man, she really touched my life and all this, and I'm like, really? Like, some people are posting, like, really personal things about it. It was kind of like...
I'm sure that there are some people that, like, that holds a lot of, like, nostalgic value to them. But I can't help but feel that, like, unless you were really alive back then, it probably doesn't affect you as much as you think.
I think that's it. I think a lot of people are kind of exaggerating that a bit. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't want to be the cynical one when someone's passed away, but...
No.
I was kind of thinking about that this week because it's just like, really, guys? Like, did you really feel that connection with her, or are you just trying to be, like, almost super nice? But, yeah, I mean, she was...
Like I said, I'm sure there are some that did. But, I mean, like, we also know that, like, that show was a long, long, long time ago. So,
yeah,
let's just make sure we're all keeping our reactions in check is all I'm asking.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying, right? I mean, I don't think... I don't downplay the loss of her life or anything, but at the same time, too, like, some people are just getting super melodramatic about it. And I'm just like, really?
She was my Batgirl, the definitive Batgirl.
I posted the Korath gif where he's like, who? As a joke. Because, like, obviously I know who she is, but it's just like, she's been probably so out of the game for so long, right? So
yeah, I know she's done other stuff, but I can't remember, like, when was the last time she was actually in something that I've seen.
Yeah. I posted that gif and I got a lot of negative responses to that. I'm like, dude, come on. Relax. Back onto Marvel, but bad Marvel, the Fox Marvel, the one that everyone's trying to forget, but the internet won't let us. There was a leaked script, the first draft, I guess, for Fan Four Stick.
No, it wasn't leaked. It wasn't leaked. It was, what is it? Somebody, it was the guy who wrote it, Jeremy Slater. He was the guy that wrote that first, that early draft, and he sent it to Devin Faraci's cat.
Oh, did he?
Devin Ferracci's cat posted a synopsis of a detailed description of the thing. Also, just as another note, did you hear about Devin Ferracci telling someone to kill himself on Twitter this week?
Oh, no, but that doesn't surprise me.
No, you didn't hear about that? Oh, the whole like everyone that I knew on Twitter was freaking out about it because apparently Devin just had enough with this one specific person and basically told him to kill himself. Everyone was reposting his tweets, and then of course he was like, "Oh man, I was drunk."
Well, El Maebe, he was kind of caught doing the same thing. Like, he was PMing this guy and being like really aggressive and like almost to the point of being violent or making threats, and the guy published the private DM messages that was being sent to him by El Maebe.
Like, those aren't actually private. All he has to do is screen cap it, and it's not private anymore. Like,
yeah.
Watch what you say, man.
And, you know, the thing is, you know, it has me thinking, right? Like, obviously, we joke around with our listeners. I mean, we make fun of Hamid every week, but we do it more just in fun more than anything else. But
yeah, it's like, we try not to mean anything serious. But the other thing, too, is that, like, unlike people like El Maebe and Devin Ferracci's cat, you know, we aren't considered industry professionals. We're just sort of guys that fun podcast, and we let everybody know up front that that's what we are. That's right. True. Like, we don't pretend to be super professional people. Yeah. Sometimes we might joke that we are, but we know exactly what we are, and we know what content we deliver. But those guys are like, no, we're hardened industry professional scoopers, and we also say some really nasty shit to people on Twitter.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, that's the thing, right? Like, they try to toe the line of being like us, where they're more like just casual and, you know, whatever. But at the same time, too, they kind of pretend like they have these standards that really they don't have. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
I mean, we just joke around. They don't. Devin Ferracci doesn't seem like a guy that would joke around, or at least not well enough. Anyways, yeah. this Jeremy Slater Fantastic Four script.
Yeah.
I gotta say, based on everything I read, it sounded better, obviously, than what we got, but it felt so bloated.
Oh my god, that was exactly the word that I used when I talked about it. I was like, bloated.
Yeah, it felt like there was just way too much in it. I mean, to be fair, they had Galactus in it, and Galactus kind of creates Doctor Doom, which, again, kind of weird. Kind of like out of left field. And I mean, I still don't think I would have liked to see it, but I sort of feel like
you can sort of see where, like, some of the ideas that actually made it into the movie came from.
Yeah.
Like, the general way of how the team comes together and, like, how, like, Planet Zero or the Negative Zone was sort of, like, the key to everything. Right? But, yeah, so think... But if you haven't seen the description, we're not going to detail everything that's in it, but the basic idea is that it does have, like, the same general plot as the movie, but except for the fact that there's a lot more, basically a lot more stuff in it. So there is Galactus. So when they go to the other dimension, Galactus is there.
Yeah.
And apparently he chases them on foot. And I just sort of thought that was just sort of like a funny image, like a giant purple Galactus like chasing after the Fantastic Four on foot. He's like, hey, come back here. And he sort of like ionizes Victor like with a beam of energy or something, and that turns him into Doctor Doom, and apparently Doctor Doom is like made out of like ionized dark energy or some shit. And, like, I guess that's why he can create wormholes. But there's also Mole Man in it, and he has moloid monsters, and there's also like this other group of like shock trooper commandos. And, like, there's also the Baxter Building, and, like, there's a whole bunch of other shit that's in it, and I'm like, this feels, like, way... I'm like, it feels like TASM 2 kind of bloated. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, too much going on, way too fast. I don't know how they would ever fit all this into a movie. And there were some people that were talking about it being like, oh, this would have been so much better, and I'm like, no, it probably wouldn't have. Like, it would have been a slight improvement, but, like, too much. Like, it's like the Fantastic Four had too little, and this has too much. Like, you sort of have to find that balance, and you also have to take into account that, like, it also all depends on, like, the writing, the dialogue, and the tone, which we don't really have access to from a description. right? Because we didn't actually get to read it. So
it is interesting, though. It's a bit of a side note. And I was considering writing this on comicbookmovie.com as a scoop, but I haven't. I've been too lazy. But last weekend, I went to a party, and, you know, my friend, he works in the film industry. He works as sort of like a lower-tier special effects guy, basically. And every time he works
on a film... Chris just has all these crazy friends.
I do have crazy friends.
Like, he has these friends that are driving Charlie Cox around. He has friends that are, like, making special effects for movies. Like, he has friends who know how to find Devin Faraci's cat. Like, this crazy stuff.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about the Devin Faraci's cat, but we could probably locate
it. That was just sort of the extra one I added at the end.
Okay. But it is kind of funny, though, because we were at his house, and he always takes, like, the security badges from the films he works on. He posts them on his board. And I didn't know what he had been working on, so I was totally in the dark. But I just see, you know, Fantastic on his board. I'm like, oh, you worked on that movie. He's like, yeah.
I'm like, tell him he did a shit job.
Well... what he does, I don't think I could blame him, but I did ask him a few things. Like, I asked him, like, how was the atmosphere on the set? And he said that what he could see from Josh Trank was that he got so many notes from Fox about things he had to change in the film and whatever else, and he just blatantly ignored all the notes, never even communicated that he wasn't going to do them. He basically kept Fox in the dark, from what my friend said. And
so, like, what were they posting all these post-its on a board being like, Josh, you got to change all this shit, and he's just like, I'm just gonna pretend they're not there.
Well, apparently what they would do is they would submit something to the studio. Well, first they would get submitted to Josh, and then Josh would submit it to the, or it's like some kind of like hierarchy system where you submit it to someone, they submit it, blah blah blah, and they'll get notes back on what they need to change. And apparently, yeah, like, every time they got the notes, like, Josh Trank would just throw them aside without reading them or going through them or anything. And apparently, yeah, like, he had plenty of chances to change the movie based on the notes that were given, but he completely ignored them, and that's when Fox intervened and started crazily editing the thing. So, sounds like a bit of both fault, though.
As I said, funny. Like, I think I just, like, said that from the beginning. Like, people that were saying it's 100% Josh's fault or 100% it's Fox's fault, like, that's just unrealistic. Like, there has to be blame on both sides. Like, I mean, you don't just get to, like, say that one party was 100% the victim, the villain.
Fox did try to give him the out of giving him those notes to basically edit the movie down. Yeah. He gave him the option to basically work with them on it, and he flat out denied it. So, it does sound like it was at least more his fault than Fox itself. I mean, it's easy to blame Fox because they went in and edited the movie, but it sounds like also too he had the chance to.
Yeah, like there are people talking about, like, oh, if only we saw Josh Trank's version, it would have been so much better. And I'm like, well, what if Fox just literally didn't have anything good to work with? Like, when it comes to footage wise, like, they cut out all this crap because they didn't have anything left out of a movie to make.
And that's right? Part of, like, it too, right?
But you sort of have to take that into account too.
I just, you know, I've
been like, they cut out all the good stuff, and I'm like, there was no good stuff.
I mean, I've been meaning to write that up on Comic Book Movie ever since I was, like, there chatting with them. Of course, I was drunk when we were chatting, too, so I actually took out my iPhone and just recorded everything.
Like I said, drunk, like, is just sort of, like, standard state for you.
I'm not drunk right now. I'm sober. But, sure. Yes, I was definitely drunk last weekend, and I don't know, it's just funny because, yeah, I have these, like, this, like, recorded interview with him that I can, like, transcribe, but I've just been so lazy, so I might just make this a Three Angry Nerds exclusive. But it is funny, though, that, like, a lot of my friends that aren't, you know, like, super big fans or whatever, they just know me as this guy that writes on Comic Book Movie and has his podcast, so sometimes they'll just tell me these things, and I'm just like, thanks. Sometimes they'll tell me stuff like, that I know
what other
already.
Movies has your dude worked on that we know of?
He mainly worked on, like, a bunch of, well, like, a lot of Fox stuff. He's worked on a few Fox films. Like, he worked on The Last Stand, Walls. He also worked on Origins Wolverine, which Balls. I always make fun of him. I always like
Brent works on a lot of shitty movies.
Oh, what's going on with the computer?
Oh. What?
went into sleep mode. There we go. He also works on, he worked on Origins Wolverine, so I always bug him about the claws, because apparently, like, his whole thing were the claws.
Like, the claws in that movie look shit. You suck.
Yeah, so I always bug him about that, right? So,
but yeah. Yeah, but I was going to say, yeah, your friend works on a lot of shitty movies.
He does. But the funny thing is, and he'll tell me this, like, he never knows a movie is shitty when they're making it. Like, his part of the movie is just his part. And a lot of times...
Yeah, they're just like, make this effect, and you're like, okay. And you have, like, no access to the rest of the film.
And then he sees the final film, and he's like, wow, that was shit. But at the same time, too, he's like, he has no clue that the movie is going to be crappy until it comes out, right? So, I don't know. I kind of feel bad for him in a way, but at the same time, too, he gets paid to
make
shitty
movies. Does he have to
pay
to see the movie?
No, he got to see Fantastic for free, I think. I think he got some kind of, like, pass or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm not sure
if like lowly special effects technicians get invited to the premiere, but I was sort of hoping they at least get like a free pass or something.
Yeah, I think he got like a free pass or something. He did tell me that he saw the movie. He was like, the movie is shit, but yeah. No, it is kind of funny though.
Did he say what specific effects he worked on for Fantastic?
He didn't mention specifics.
You should ask.
A lot of it was
like, did you do the effects for Doom?
I think he did a lot of the stuff for, like, Planet Zero, the Negative Zone, or whatever they called it. Yeah, I think he did a lot of that. But, you know, I actually have been considering having him on the podcast. Unlike a few other people that I know, he actually could tell you so much about these behind-the-scenes movies, and it would actually be interesting. I keep telling him, like, dude, one day you should be on. And he's like, yeah, maybe. Anyways.
It can't happen.
But, yeah. It was kind of funny, though, because I trust his word implicitly, so if he tells me these things, I don't doubt him. So when he told me that, yeah, like, Josh Trank got the notes and he just ignored him, I was like, dude, I believe you. I don't think you'd be bullshitting.
I believe him, too.
Yeah. Thank you. You don't know him, but you believe him.
Thank you. Basically, if you're bad-mouthing Josh Trank, I believe you.
I actually should write that up on Comic Book Movie after we're done this, because that is a... something I've been meaning to write up, but I've just been too lazy. Tony Kibble and Bits.
It's Toby, but okay.
Is it Toby?
Kibble? Yeah, it's Toby.
I can call him Tony. Anyways, Toby Kibble and Bits has joined Kong.
I was going to say, they've gotten a lot of people for that movie.
What is kind of funny, too, is they keep getting all these new screenwriters, too. So
they got like their fourth screenwriter now to like apparently do like some. Oh, I guess we sort of like this is both bits of Kong news is that Toby Kibble and Bits did get hired for a role in that movie, but the other thing too is that the one of the writers on Jurassic World, has just been hired apparently for like a last minute touch up on the script, and I sort of made the joke being like, oh, he's gonna be writing all the scenes with dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Well, like, they're like, shit, we need someone who has dinosaur experience. Quick, call up one of the Jurassic World writers.
Part of me worries that, like, because they're bringing in so many screenwriters and changing so many drafts, that, like, they're going to drop some of these actors and characters or whatever. I mean...
Yeah, sort of like, why do you need four people to go through the script? Like, you're not happy with it yet? Come on.
It seems weird. Like, you would think that they were trying to... They would work on the script first once they had that script... I mean, they're going to make changes inevitably. That's whatever. That's how it's done. But to be hiring cast members when the screenplay's still in flux just seems weird.
Yeah, like I can't help but feel that like when you get to like, oh, we're bringing in one last person to like look over the script and like do another rewrite, and like it gets to like four people, I'm like, come on, like there has to be some sort of like base issue. Like it shouldn't take that many people to get a script that you're happy with. You know what I mean? Especially if you've already cast most of the major people in the movie. Unless, literally, they're like, we need a guy to write the dinosaur scenes.
That's probably what it is.
That's probably exactly what it is. They're like, oh, shit. Like, maybe, like, you know what I bet it is? Because Jurassic World did so well, they're like, shit, we need to put more dinosaurs into this script. So they, like, put in, like, maybe, like, another action scene with dinosaurs in it. And they're like, okay, we need someone to write this dinosaur action scene, so bring in that guy. Because they know dinosaurs are hot right now at the box office.
They're going to make King Kong a genetically modified ape. And they're like, we need someone who has experience writing about genetically modified animals. Bring in this guy.
Are the dinosaurs on Skull Island also going to be genetically modified?
Yep. I'm calling it now.
It turns out that Kong Skull Island takes place in the Jurassic Park cinematic universe.
Yeah. We just called it. You guys better keep your eyes open.
So what happens is that after Jurassic World, Dr. Henry Wu, who escaped with all the dinosaur, the genetic stuff, he sets up a new facility on Skull Island. And then he also decides to create giant apes. Oh my gosh, this is canon.
Confirmed. Henry Wu is in Jurassic World. Or not yep. Jurassic World. Kong.
Kong Skull Island. It's like the next day he gets hired and we're like, we called it.
Knew it. Do you know what it is? They probably don't even know what they want to do with this film, but they're listening to our podcast, taking notes, like, shit.
These guys are geniuses.
Connecting it to Jurassic World? That's so much fucking sense. We'll have the scientist back. And let's bring in Chris Pratt, because why not?
Fucking Chris Pratt appears in the post-credit scene.
I'm here regarding the dinosaur initiative.
Sir, because there's going to be, like, this big, like, whoever the heroes are in this movie. Wait, who's the main guy? Oh, yeah, it's Loki, Tom Hiddleston, right? And Tom Hiddleston and Brie Larson. Loki? What?
And he's going to be playing Loki?
So no, but he's in the movie, right? So I'm like, so he's going to be there with Brie Larson, and then by the end of this movie, they're going to meet up with Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard, and they're going to have a big team-up movie in a couple of years.
I think we found the title of this week's podcast. Dinosaur Initiative.
Wait, sorry, what?
The Dinosaur Initiative.
Yep. There you go.
You know, last week, I came up with the title really early, and this time it's taken me a while. I did put his thing as Tony Kibble and Bits in the last week's episode. Oops.
But it's Toby.
The Dinosaur Initiative. It's like such a badass title too. People are gonna be like,
yeah,
wow,
I know.
How did they...
That's like, I feel like that could be like the name of like a cool like movie or something.
Dinosaur Initiative. Age of Dinosaurs.
Avengers 8 Age of Dinosaurs. Well, I wouldn't even be mad.
There is that X-Men thing where it's a thing of dinosaurs.
What, the Savage Land?
Savage Land. I'm kind of surprised they haven't done that. I mean, they'll probably do it now that dinosaurs are the hot thing. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't be surprised if in Age of Apocalypse, X-Men Apocalypse, they're like, we have to go to the Savage Lands, and everyone's going to freak out. I'll be like, I knew it. Dinosaurs are the hot shit.
Because, like, what do you do? That's the thing, is that what do you do after Apocalypse?
Shadow like, King? Obviously.
I guess. But are they going to know to do that? Because they're dumb?
Yeah. See,
it's going to be, like, dinosaurs is the next thing.
I can tell you that they're probably going to redo the Phoenix, Dark Phoenix storyline. Probably
again.
Yeah, and you're saying though, Kurt, that doesn't make any sense because they haven't established Cyclops and Jean as a couple. I tell you, Foxman doesn't care. They'll do it. Regardless.
They just do what they want.
Yeah. When have they ever cared about anything making sense? They're like,
they don't give a fuck.
Storytelling. Fuck you. You want to submit? You want us to write a script and direct a movie that makes sense? Fuck you. We won't do that.
Yeah, they're like, we already erased everything with Days of Future Past, right? Yeah, that makes sense. Like, just say, fuck it.
Yeah, I love how people are, like, treating Days of Future Past like it's, like, the savior of Fox's...
Yeah, like, it fixed films. Everything. It fixed every issue. I'm like, no.
And I'm like, how about this? Why don't you guys just make good movies so you don't have to reset the continuity? I mean, the fact that they had to do that was kind of annoying more than anything. Anyways, let's go to the emails.
Besides, First Class is still in continuity, and I don't like them.
I was going to say I don't think anyone likes that movie, but then I was like, no, people do like that movie. I hate it. I hate First Class so much.
But they're fucking silly. Like, I was talking to somebody about First Class, like, and I was explaining why I think I said this on the podcast before, but I was explaining why I feel like Sebastian Shaw is like the worst villain in like modern CBMs. Because he's just he's so stupid and his plan is so ridiculous. But like that's not the only issue with the movie, obviously, but I was sort of like they're like, why don't you like First Class? And I was like, well, all these things, but the biggest thing for me is how bad Sebastian Shaw was done and like how his plan makes no sense, and I had to like explain it to them, and they're like, well, I don't know, it's still a good movie. And I'm like,
I have two main problems with that movie. I know I should have only one main problem, but I have two, because I can't decide on which one I hate more. The first being that the First Class is not the First Class.
Well, that's what I also say, too. I'm like, X-Men First Class without the First Class.
Yeah. Iceman's not there. Beast. Oh, actually, Beast is there, sorry.
Beast is the only original member that's there.
Yeah. No Ice. Yeah, no Iceman.
So it's Cyclops, no Angel. Phoenix. Okay, no Iceman. I'm like, come on.
Now, my other problem is they introduce a couple characters that get killed off before anything really even happens. And
well, the thing is that most of the characters in that movie get killed off screen between First Class and Days of Future Past.
I'm thinking, no, the chick didn't get killed off. She went to the Hellfire Club halfway through.
Chick.
But Darwin got killed off.
Oh, yeah, Darwin. They're like, we have to kill the one black person in 5 minutes.
He's like the one guy that really should not have died. Like,
yeah, his superpower is to not die. And they're like, all right, kill him off.
Yeah, so stupid. Anyways, before we go to emails, I want to talk about two movies I watched this week. Just like a little mini review. I did watch Dragon Ball Z Resurrection F this week, which is really good. Brings back Frieza from DBZ, the late 90s Frieza run, and then that was good. I also saw Cop Car this week, which obviously everyone's like, hey, this guy's going to be directing Spider-Man. Wonder if he's any good. And I can tell you that that movie is pretty good. It's not perfect, but it's pretty good. So I have faith in the Spider-Man franchise with this guy, John Watts. But it is kind of funny, though, too, because you can tell he's totally an indie director. You know, like that movie is totally made on the cheap, you know. Has like a indie flair to it. Anyways, that's all I wanted to say. Carlos has been watching old Dragon Ball. Not Dragon Ball Z, just Dragon Ball. Where Goku's a kid.
Yep.
Scott sent us an email.
Oh, yes, emails. Woo!
Yeah. This would have been great when we were talking about X-Men for a segue. Oh, but
can I just actually say just one thing, though? Just because there is a movie that I saw this week that it's not really... I just want to sort of like just mention it.
Did you watch Cop Car as well?
No, I didn't. But I'm gonna watch Cop Car. But a movie that I'd heard of, but I hadn't seen. It's not a comic book movie, but it's just a movie that I watched. It was a movie called Locke.
Oh yeah.
Heard of that movie? Yeah. That's Tom Hardy in it. Obviously, Tom Hardy played Bane in The Dark Knight Rises, and he's been in a lot of other movies.
And he's in a car in the entire movie, right?
Yeah, the idea is that he is literally inside of a car for the entire movie. The entire movie is him driving and talking to people on the phone. It was recommended. I'd heard of it. I hadn't seen it. But then someone on Twitter recommended it to me. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go watch it. Because it was on Netflix. So I was like, all right, I'll just sit down and watch it. It's only 90 minutes just to see what it is. And it was so good. Oh, my God. Like, it was so good.
Okay.
Like, I know it seems like on paper like a bad idea. Like, I'm like, could this really be an entertaining and like compelling movie? But it actually is. So,
okay.
That's all. I just wanted to say that.
All right, go watch Locke, guys, and then go watch Dragon Ball Z Resurrection F, and then go watch Cop Car, and then you've lived your life after you've seen those three movies, apparently.
Yep.
Scott says, "Hello, nerds." With X-Men possibly getting a TV show, what would you like to see them do on the TV show?
Not suck?
I said this before. I want them to do, like, actual X-Men. Like, I want them to do a week-by-week, like, a different villain. Kind of, like, almost like procedural, but obviously they'd have, like, serial elements. But the thing is, too, is they're setting up the younger X-Men crowd with the new... film, right? Like, obviously Storm's new and young and Cyclops and all that, so yeah, but I actually love for them to do that. And
you know, like, actually make it feel like a comic book, right? Because, I mean, like, the advantage of doing it as a television show is that it can emulate that sort of, like, serial nature that the comic book, like, each episode is, like, an issue.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, if that's what you're gonna, like, if you're gonna do a show, then you have to take advantage of that and, like, really go for that.
Plus, so, yeah. It does seem kind of weird because they announced a whole bunch of movies and there isn't, like, a huge X-Men movie on the horizon. So part of me thinks that they might kind of use the show to kind of, like, fill in the space. And then, you know, they'll probably still do, like, big tentpole movies, like, big events. But they could do use the same cast to, like, do little...
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised if they're just like, we're just going to make this show its own thing and it has no connection to the movies because we're dumb.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I wouldn't be surprised.
Part of me is like, is Scott wanting to know what I realistically think will happen or what I want to happen? Because what I want to happen is for them to continue the X-Men team from the film on the small screen. But then also part of me is like, that won't happen. They won't do that. That's way too good of an idea.
I'm just going to make this other thing.
Make another thing. Okay. Article? Comment?
What?
Like, you're like, I'm going to just make this one thing, and I'm like, well,
No. I was saying they're going to be like, we're just going to make this other thing that has no relation to our movies. That's what I meant.
Yeah. I could see them doing, like, the New Mutants 2 or something stupid like that.
Aren't they supposed to be making a New Mutants movie? Isn't that...
Oh, is that what they're doing?
I thought that's what was...
I don't even think Fox knows what they're doing.
They're just like, we're just going to make stuff, I think.
They come in every week. And they're like, so wait, what are we doing again? Like, what are we making? Anyways. Hello, nerds. When will we see the next movie commentary? It's been months since the Crocodile Dundee commentary, and we haven't seen any since. Brandon. Oh, Brandon. I don't know. If you want to see a movie commentary, I'm sure I can make one happen. Might just be me.
Because you keep saying we're going to do it, but then we don't. Because we're lazy.
That's it. I think we need to, like, schedule time for one and just do it. Just like pulling the Band-Aid off from your hairy leg or something. You just gotta, like, do it. Rip it off. Do it. So, Brandon, to answer your question, I don't know when we'll do one, but we'll take it into consideration. All right. Hello, nerds. I'm bored these days, and I need something to watch or play. Any recommendations? I don't play mini games and I don't watch much TV, Ryan.
So he's just sort of like, he just wants recommendations for what? Just anything?
Yeah, he says something to watch or something to play. So I think books are off the table.
Yeah, because I was gonna recommend some books, but then he's like, that's not on the list. So you know what? Fine.
Apparently, Ryan can't read.
So obviously you and Curtis have something in common.
Yeah. Both don't like to read. Reading's for losers.
Well, we already mentioned some movies that we saw that we liked, so you should watch the movies that we already talked about.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're looking for movies.
I mean, you've heard me talk about Pokemon all this time. You can go play the Pokemon games.
Yeah, go play the Pokemon games. You can find most of them, like, online. You can play them in your browser.
Yeah. I mean, come on, Ryan. Tell me you're not totally attracted to the idea of catching them all. I mean, I can't say no to that. In fact, I have caught them all. I have all the Pokemon. And it took me a long time, but I did it. And I think you could do it. You dedicate
yourself. We believe in you.
Also, too. I mean...
If you and I think Curtis is definitely going to agree with me on this one. If you haven't played the Metal Gear Solid games, like, what are you doing with your time? Like,
too, Marvel Heroes. That's a great game.
The MMO?
That's also a game, too, where you play through with one character, and then you can go play through with a different character. So, really, you could hypothetically keep playing that game for a long time. Keep playing as different characters. I just got Dr. Doom in that game. It's been a lot of fun.
So see, you just got recommended a whole bunch of shit. So stop being bored.
Yeah, stop being bored, Ryan. And if worse comes to worse, you can just go out and try to find a girl. Just go on dates. Why? Because why not? Hello, nerds. Can you wish my boyfriend, Chris, a happy birthday? We listened to the podcast together, and I wanted to surprise him. Marianne. All right, Marianne. Happy birthday, Chris.
Happy birthday, Chris.
Hopefully you get a birthday BJ or something. I don't know.
Hop to it, Marianne.
Yeah. Pause this podcast and get to work.
She's like, wait, I didn't ask them to say that.
That's kind of what you get with us.
Yep, I don't think the boyfriend is gonna mind. He's gonna be like, yes.
Yes.
Thanks, Three Angry Nerds.
And with that, we get to email of the week from Hamid.
Yeah, he's always our email of the week.
This is amazing. Hello, podcast ors. It's with an O, it's not with an E. That's why I said podcast ors. He misspelled podcasters. Which, by the way, doesn't even make sense grammatically. Like,
I'm already crying from laughing.
I have enough of stupid podcasts making fun of me. I do not like it. Podcasts never discuss Man of Steel or other school shows. And when I email, I am joke to everyone. Why would everyone make jokes like that? You should take podcasts serious like Serial. And, you know, keep in mind, Serial the podcast is spelled S-E-R-I-A-L, as in, like, the cereal. He spells it like breakfast cereal.
Like the breakfast food. I saw that.
He says, I will, and this is in caps lock, never review this podcast when it is this silly and dumb. I will also not listen or email if podcast does not become more pro. And then he says in caps lock, goodbye, I mean it, Hamid. Well, Hamid, it's a bit melodramatic. I mean, come on, buddy, calm your tits there, you know, like.
I know you like that bong.
I know you like to rip into bongs.
I was going to say, isn't ripping the bong supposed to calm you down?
Yeah, I mean, what, like, did you not rip into the bongs when you emailed
you
us?
See,
like,
I think for once he didn't rip into the bong because he finally realized that we make fun of his emails. Because, like, he never noticed until now.
And now he's just got so much pent-up rage. Now, Hamid, thing is this podcast is never going to be a professional podcast. I mean, we only fixed the audio quality on this podcast because I actually had some time to actually work on it this week. But, I mean, on a regular basis, I do not care about this podcast enough to be, like, professional. It's all about having fun, you know? Like, we're sort of like the public access radio of podcasts where we have no money coming in. We literally just do the best we can, and somehow people listen to us because they have nothing else better to do with their time. So, I don't think we'll ever be professional.
How many listeners do we have now?
Oh, we're upwards to, like, 5,000, probably more at this point.
What the hell? I was going to say, I looked at my review. My review is, like, at, like, 4,500 views. I'm like, what?
Yeah, a lot of those people have been checking us out. We're at 7,500 now.
Like, listeners on the podcast.
Yeah.
Now I'm kind of scared that, like, people are going to, like, start, like, kicking down my door, being all like, you're on that podcast I listen to, and I'll be like, ah!
That, or you're gonna get, like, groupies, you know?
I guess, like, I won't be upset about groupies, but
yeah, there'll be girls wearing t-shirts around. It'll just be like, hashtag Carlos is right. You'll be like, wait, what?
Hey, if there's 7,500 people listening to this podcast right now, if they all tweeted hashtag Carlos is right, you could turn into a thing. Go to it. Why are you still here?
But how do we know that all 7,500 people have Twitter? You know.
Well, if you don't have Twitter, make a Twitter just so that you can tweet that hashtag.
Hashtag Carlos is right.
Do it.
Yeah, no, this podcast has really exploded lately.
You're welcome, Curtis.
Yes.
It's all me.
Thank you, Carlos.
It's all me.
You know? Has nothing to do with the fact that I organize this shit every week. God damn.
Has nothing to do with it. I take all the credit.
Yeah. know, this podcast is good. Every week I'm always surprised when I'm like, wait, people are still listening to this? I mean, if we had 5 listeners, I'd be happy. But now we have, like, close to 7,500. So I'm just like, oh, that's more than I thought we would get. So,
yeah, so we can't slack off anymore. We have too many fans.
And that's the thing, right, is, you know, we make fun of Hamid's emails, but then every week we get more listeners. So obviously our jokes about Hamid are resonating with our audience enough that we keep getting more listeners. So
yeah, Hamid.
Sorry, Hamid, I will never stop making fun of your emails because it's just too much good business for this podcast.
Exactly, right? Like, I mean, like I said, it's become part of the mythology.
Yeah. I mean, one day, Hamid, I would love for you to call in and we can interview you on the podcast.
We interview Hamid.
That would be amazing.
Like mid bong rip.
It's like, Hamid, can you speak English finally? Oh my gosh. Hamid, why have you not ripped into a bong yet? Actually, what we could do is have Jordan on the podcast, and Jordan and him can have a bong ripping contest.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be like special episode Jordan versus Hamid.
And Hamid would lose.
It's like eight age of bong.
Age of bong ripping.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. That's it for this podcast. I've got nothing else.
Email?
Yeah. Go follow us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. View us on iTunes.
Email us.
Yeah. 3 Angry Nerds Podcast. gmail.com. @gmail.com. I don't know. I want to bring back like the questions that we asked you guys.
My fanfic.
Yeah, read Doom's fanfic. I linked to it in the article. I don't know how many people actually read it, but I do link to it.
Hey, see, like as long as you keep linking it, then eventually someone's gonna click on it.
The funny thing is that obviously your articles must get some pretty decent thing because we had over 1,000-ish people come from your comic book movie article that you linked to us to our site. So obviously you get like quite a few readers, but
yeah. Anyways.
That's the thing with comic book movie. We never know how our articles do unless you guys comment, because it's not like you actually see analytics.
Yeah, like we don't get to see like view counts, right?
Yeah.
Although one time I actually did email Nate. Apparently he can find out because he's the site owner.
Yeah, of course.
Like but I only ever did that once. Like I only ever asked him once like what the view count was for one of my articles. But I don't want to do that like every single time. You know what I mean? So. I feel like just having, like, even just, like, even if only the person who wrote the article can see it, like, just having a little, like, view count would be nice.
Yeah. I guess the question I'll ask you guys for next week is, with Metal Gear Solid 5 coming out, what's your thing that you're most looking forward to in Metal Gear Solid 5?
And also, what's your favorite moment / anything from the previous Metal Gear Solid games?
Yeah,
tell us something. Be like, this is my favorite character. This is my favorite moment. This is my favorite codec conversation. Just tell us something like that.
And if you guys say the Fulton system, you'll get my respect. Because the Fulton system's amazing. Just saying.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm glad they put that in Metal Gear Solid 5. Because I was in Peace Walker and that was cool. But now they got that in 5. And apparently you can Fulton the bear. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Hey, Curtis, it's just some sort of, like, a random, like, tidbit. Do you know who, off the top of your head, do you know who Stephanie Shostak is?
Have you ever heard that? From Iron Man 3?
Yeah, she was the girl from Iron Man 3, the one who was the Extremis girl.
Yeah.
So I actually sent her a tweet, and I asked her a question. She didn't answer my question, but she did favorite my tweet, so she acknowledged my existence. But she only has, like, she doesn't have that many, like, as many followers on Twitter as, like, I would have thought.
Right.
So I'm sort of thinking, like, I might send her another tweet asking her if she wants to be interviewed.
Sure.
I'm thinking about it, just because, like, just because, you're like, hang on, let me pull this up first, check it. Just give me a second.
Wow. There's apparently going to be a Jurassic Park cartoon
No, I heard about that, but no, that wasn't It's Happening. That was it was supposed to happen way back when.
But sorry didn't if I said that, but yeah, no. They're doing
Yeah,
like,
no,
they're
I'm just
showing
sort of
like
like looking at her Twitter right now. Like, it is her official Twitter, it's verified, right? But it doesn't have as many followers as I was thinking, right? So like I was thinking towards just because she doesn't have as many followers as like a gigantic, like one of those gigantic accounts, that like maybe she would be more open to like talking back. Yeah, and she did favorite my tweet, but she didn't actually answer the question. But either way, I'm thinking of just like sending her another message being like, hey, I have a podcast. Want to get interviewed?
Totally should. I mean,
that would actually be pretty cool. Like, actually have an MCU actor on the podcast. That would be nuts.
Yeah. Like, ask her, did you have to make love with Kevin Feige? If so, what was it like?
Damn it, Curtis. He's married.
Well,
although, to be fair, I'd probably have to, what is it? I'd probably have to, like, watch, like, everything she's ever been in. Because I've only seen a couple of things that she's been in outside of Iron Man 3, so I'll have to, like, go through, like, her entire filmography just so that she doesn't, like, think we're wasting her time.
To be fair, I would not be the one doing that. It would all be you.
I know.
I'm
the one that's going to have to end up doing that.
I just took this one image from the Jurassic Park TV series cartoon, and it's like a bunch of dinosaurs all attacking one dinosaur. I just set that as my wallpaper on my phone because it's amazing. It's like the greatest thing I've seen all day. Anyways, yeah, that's it. I don't think we have anything else to say. If you are a celebrity and wish to be interviewed on the podcast, let us know.
Tell us.
Yeah. I mean, we only had the one interview. We had a few leads that fell through, but I mean, you never know. Let us know. I mean, if you want, I can promise that we will be the most fun interview you'll ever go to.
Yes, we will be fun, but we'll also be semi-professional. Like, we're not we're not going to be like those people that interviewed, what is it, Kate Mara and Michael B. Jordan.
We'll be better than the guy that asked Channing Tatum to throw a card at him. Because that guy was just dumb. You know,
like, we're,
but
we're,
like,
we're gonna set that as like we're higher than that. We passed that bar.
Yeah, and the thing is that, you know, I get that that guy wanted to be cool and kind of like relaxed about the whole thing, but that was just dumb. I mean, he went a little too far.
Like, Channing Tatum's probably like, the fuck.
You know who I would love to interview is Josh Trank, and just be like,
oh my god, yes.
That would
be like, so Josh, tell us everything. That could be an entire episode. That's not even like an interview. That's just the entire, that's like an entire like 2-hour episode of the podcast. It's just Josh Trank tells all.
I have an amazing idea for next week. I'm going to keep it a secret, but I have something I just thought of. It's kind of amazing. All right. That's it. I'm seriously stopping this podcast. So say goodbye, Carlos.
Bye, Carlos. Wait, what?
Bye.